amen to that. There are many lovely and beautiful songs within the hymnal, but that tends to be one of my most favorite. Puts it all into perspective. Why it is that we're here in this world, we want to make sure that we can enter one day the wonderful city of God in heaven above. I have had quite an eventful morning already. Some might be aware, some perhaps not, but I was in a car accident earlier. Just as I was trying to make my way over here to the church building for the Bible class. But I'm not hurt. She is not hurt. We're okay. And so God be thanked for that. Both of our vehicles will need some body work. But as it turns out, as I had driven my car back to the spot that I typically park at, there was a mechanic that was out and about walking around. And he took a look at the vehicle and he said, that's fine to drive off. If you want to go ahead and make it there to services, you don't need someone to come pick you up for that. You'll be okay. And so it gave me an opportunity to talk to him as well as with the younger woman that I had the collision with, and was able to give both of them a little church card, as it were, that advertises a free Bible correspondence course. And so I'm trying to look for the good in every possible situation. It's so good to see Maisha and her family out this way, and we have her in our heart and prayers and the time of loss that she has experienced here. May God keep her, and may she be strong. We're also very grateful, of course, for now Doyle Wang being baptized for the remission of his sins. We have a good brother in Christ here, and we pray God's blessings on him as he seeks to study in the Bible and grow. And God will give him grace and strength to fight the good fight of faith. The lesson this morning will be on the topic of honor. And I'd like to go ahead and begin in the book of 1 Peter, where we find that the Apostle Peter talks of the value of honor and how it is that as God's people, we should, each of us, be characterized by honor and crowned and clothed with true honor. Peter also discusses here to whom honor is properly due. Who do we owe honor to? Let's go ahead and begin reading in 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's start way back up here with verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Peter here talks about the new station of life for the Christian, for the true child of God. The child who has now become a child of God has undergone a transformation. He has been accepted into the house of God, and he has become now integrated into the structure itself, so that when others see this person, this now Christian man or Christian woman, they are to see a part of the house of God, if you will. And just as it would be with our own house, our own place of residence, we prefer all to be decent and orderly, and we would not care to long abide a leaky ceiling, doors that are coming unhinged, paint that is cracking or peeling, mold setting in, boards that are poisoned by dry rot, pipes that drip water, sockets that have no electricity running to them, or a heating unit, perhaps especially this time of the year, a heating unit or a cooling unit that is not working very properly. So too then, as Christians, we want to make sure that we are contributing to the beauty and orderliness of the house of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to be certain that we're not in any way serving as an unwanted distraction, which the master of the house, the Lord himself, might see fit to replace. And since we are building material for the house of God, which is a holy house, a spiritual house, according there to verses 5 and 9, we are a holy nation, God has determined that we live good and wholesome lives, upright lives, and that our conduct be honorable, worthy of honor here in this world. You see, because while there might be many houses built by men, there is but one house built by God. And it is a most magnificent and marvelous house, planned by our Lord from all eternity. It honors and exalts and glorifies Him who is the maker and builder, so that all this world here would ideally come to understand that God's house is the finest here on this earth, and it will be the only one there in heaven to come, and that they would in turn then seek to be incorporated into that house as well, the house of God. Our conduct is to be honorable in this world. Verse 12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, among the people there of the world, to the degree that naysayers will have nothing on us. No dirt, no grime, no slime, no crime to pin on us. And once they see that we practice what we preach, you ever stop and ponder this here? That very consistency might well turn out to be appealing and revealing for them. And they would then want to think about converting themselves. That could contribute to their turning from sin and turning to God and living for Him. I believe that that's exactly what Peter is getting at there in verse number 12. As Christians are to live honorably, they in turn are to bestow honor. And we see there, as we come to verse number 17, we're to be honoring how many people? Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Well, truth be told, we arrive here then at a precept, a command, that at times can be rather puzzling. even to those in the Lord's body. If we are to honor all people, and if we are to honor the king, well, what if the people and what if the king or the president happens to be bad? What if we're talking about people that are vicious and vile and terrible, or rather immoral in the policies that they wish to enact? Is honor still to be given? Is honor still to be attributed? And therein, I believe it's helpful to make clarification. Honor and respect can still be given in light of the fact that they are still human beings, created with souls, though they may not always behave or act humanely. And honor can still be given to one because of the office that he holds, though he might in the end prove to be a wicked and repulsive ruler. This does not mean that we have to honor their actions, because indeed many of the choices that they make or the policies that they would issue could be truly sinful and abominable in the sight of God. They might sponsor abortion or be in favor of same-sex marriage. All of that is contrary to the written word of God. And though it happens to be recognized now in our country today, it is still rejected by the God of heaven. But you see, we can still respect the office that's there and seek to be cooperative while these people are in office, remembering that while they have power over us, their power itself is derived from who? It's derived from God Almighty. And so God is always ultimately in control, and God is always, always, always to come first. And since God tells us to be submissive, we are to be submissive where we can. Daniel, the prophet of God, might well be an example for us to consider along this line, a model for us. Because while Daniel served under Nebuchadnezzar and then later Darius, two idolatrous kings, Daniel did not compromise the truth of God. When Nebuchadnezzar set his delicacies and wine before Daniel, the record tells you there in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, that Daniel did not take them. He'd purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. And when King Darius decreed that no god would be worshipped, only he could be worshipped, only Darius could be worshipped for a period of 30 days, the Bible tells you there in Daniel 6, verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. You get the distinct impression that Daniel does that immediately. And not once, twice, but three times, as was his practice there of old. Daniel knew it was better to obey God rather than men. But in matters that did not contradict God's will or circumvent that, if the king said, jump, what might have been then Daniel's reply? He would have just said, well, how high? And so you see, in this way, Daniel, this great man of God, was pleasing both to God and men, and an excellent court official and administrator. The word honor means, according to the Free Dictionary, number one, high respect as that shown for special merit, as in honor shown to like a noble laureate. Number two, a good name or reputation, a source or cause of credit. Number three, glory or recognition, distinction, a mark, token, or gesture of respect, as in the place of honor at the table. A military decoration, a title conferred for achievement. Number four, high rank, 5, the dignity accorded to position, awed by the honor of his office. 6, great privilege, such as I have the honor to present the governor. And 7, principled uprightness of character, personal integrity, a code of integrity, dignity, and pride, chiefly among men, that was maintained in some societies, as in feudal Europe. Now, there are some points that I'd like to make here about this word and concept of honor. Friends, honor can come from two sources. It can be gathered from God, or it can be gathered from man. When man's wishes do not conflict with God's wishes, then admittedly there can be harmony between the two. That might surprise some, but it should not. In Luke, the second chapter, I invite you to turn over to Luke chapter 2. We discover an example of this. Please turn to Luke chapter 2. We find that Jesus was but a child of 12 years of age here. He and his family had come down to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration and feast, as they did every year. And Mary and Joseph lost track of the boy Jesus. And now you talk about a heart attack for a mother. This would be it right here, just for any parent, right? We've been there before, even the best of moms. I thought he was with you. No, I thought he was with you. Oh no, where is he? Well, maybe so-and-so saw him. No, we didn't see him. So after a day's journey, they are headed back. And these are moments that mothers and fathers would never, ever forget, right? But look over here in Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Look here at verse 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus, verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with who? In favor with God and men. With God and men. In this context here, you see how honor comes from both directions. Here was a boy who was subject to them, obedient to them in all things. Now, even with those in the world, even with those who may technically not even really go to church services, generally speaking, they would want a son or a daughter who will be respectful to them and who will be of a help to them as an assistant and not be unruly or troublesome, not be like a little demon just crawling around all over the place and getting into all kinds of mischief or being, say, like a drama act. Even people of the world would care for better children than that. But you see here that there is honor between both God and men. Between the two there. As the Lord Jesus Christ was seeking to be decent here in this world. But what if now man's wishes conflict with God's wishes? There you see, we're going to have to choose one or the other. But we cannot have both. Are we going to then pursue God's honor or man's honor? I'm going to just cite two passages that would provide an example of what I'm talking about here. The first is in Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, where our Lord used this illustration of a man who was wasting his master's goods. And he was called to give an account, to give a report for all of that there. And look at what is said here in Luke chapter 16. You've got the Pharisees who did not really care to hear about all of this because they happened to be lovers of money. They were very greedy. They were interested in that sound that would go chick-ching, and that was about it. Well, watch this here. In Luke chapter 16, starting with verse 13, Jesus squarely put it, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," or the God of money, which is to say, for mammon. Now look there at verse 14. "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him." They mocked him. They just treated him with scorn and contempt. "And he said to them," look here at verse 15, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts." Watch it. "For what is highly esteemed among men, valued by men, praised by men, honored by men, is an abomination in the sight of God." What man honors in this context is not what God honors, but rather it is detestable and wretched before the Almighty. Look over at John chapter 5, another key passage. In John chapter 5, the Lord, constantly having to deal with those that were trying to level their cannons at him and make attacks where they could at his doctrine and at his integrity, here the Lord has to deal with them once again. And notice what's said here in John chapter 5, verse 39 beginning. "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men." Verse 41. "I do not receive honor from men," that kind of honor there. See? "But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe," verse 44, "who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God?" There was honor that came from God and honor that came from men. And those two here in this context were literally contrary to each other. So as to seek one was to snub the other, or vice versa. Now we are to honor all people. 1 Peter 2, verse 17. We are to, quote, "in honor give preference to one another in the church." Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And we are to esteem others better than ourselves. Philippians 2, verse 3. But there are roles that we sustain in the family unit, which we must be mindful as well. And this takes us to one of the most famous statements on honor in all of sacred Scripture. Who knows what this is? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Ephesians 6, verse 2. "Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Verse 3. "That it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." Now listen. I have my father and mother, and you have your father and mother, if they happen to still be living. I have an obligation, a special requirement to my father and mother that you don't necessarily sustain with them. And you have obligations, special obligations, to your father and mother that others do not have with them specifically. Honor is to be found in the family unit, which means time. It means love and care and concern that is to be shown there where it is due. And honor is to be shown based upon one's age, and this is a foundational principle for all society. How we treat the elderly is a reflection of a society's value or worth, or lack thereof, even. Leviticus 19, verse 32, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God, I am the Lord." You might recall, this has been now, I guess, about 2 years back, but there was a girl in Miami, Florida, who had crashed her bike because she was high on Xanax pills. And she turned out to be very rude and crude to the judge during her day in court. She made an obscene gesture to the judge and uttered an explicative. And then she tried to walk off, and the judge had the bailiff bring her on back. "Bring her back here. Did you just say that?" She said, "Yes." And his answer was, "I hold you in contempt of court." And she was given 30 days in jail. Oh, she was sorry. She was sorry the very next day. No question about it. Obviously, this was more than just an older man here. He was a judge. But the point is that honor was to be shown. And that girl chose to be disrespectful and rude. Now, hopefully the only time that we're going to appear in court will be for jury duty. But as that judge enters, what does the bailiff say? "All rise. The honorable so-and-so is now presiding." Honor is accorded there because of his office. Now, honor is to be shown to the elderly, and honor is to be shown to father and mother. But go in your Bibles to Malachi. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. We're going to have to get priorities in the proper place. Malachi chapter 1. Let us never, ever forget or lose sight of this, that God, our Heavenly Father, is the very first one to receive honor from us. He has to come first. And look at this here now. In Malachi chapter 1, starting with verse 6, a complaint is here given by the Almighty. "A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name?" Here's the answer. "You offered defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible." Their heart wasn't truly in it. The attitude was poor. "And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts." As we read through all of that there, I am of the mind personally that it can abound in applications. Well, we dress up for family members during the holidays, but then dress down for God or dress less than our best for God when it comes to His services. I understand, I get that there is no official dress code, but clothing can communicate. So what is in our heart? And misplaced priorities can manifest themselves in a good number of ways. For many, even in the church, they can become defensive of family members who are living in sin. So that if a family member from the world or from a denomination would visit, "Oh boy, I hope the preacher does not preach on denominationalism. Oh, I hope the preacher does not touch on worldliness. Please, please just be general about sin. Do not get too specific about smoking or gambling or alcohol. Not about my cousin's pet sins here. Oh, my cousin is here. He won't really want to hear that. He's going to be offended." I know him. I know how he is. And if he gets offended, then I'm going to be offended too. Oh, don't be preaching on God's law on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Why, I've got my uncle here, and he's on his fourth wife. Oh. Now granted, ladies and gentlemen, the pulpit is a place of dignity and decency and respect. And we do not go out of our way to be belligerent. But the truth has to be preached. It has to be spoken. Our goal is to convert. And whether souls hear it publicly or whether they hear it privately, they need to hear it. They need to understand this so as to be informed and given an opportunity to change. Because ignorance itself is not going to save them. And the seed of God's word must be sown in their heart in a spirit of love. Let me ask you, why was John the Baptist beheaded? You'd say, well, because Herodias, that marriage there proved to be unscriptural, and, John was saying some things that weren't too popular there with the Herod family. But you know what? He had to preach what was right. He had to preach what was right. And that tells you that John the Immerser chose to honor God and God's law above men. God is the one who deserves our honor first. And that is always put to the test. We can be tested on that nearly daily. What happened there with Eli? Remember, here was someone who was serving there at the tabernacle. Eli, the priest of God, when he failed to put a stop to the destructive work and the destructive influence of his sons, you can read about it there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. God said, "Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me?" Honor your sons more than me. It was a reproach to God. So while we do our best to honor everyone, 1 Peter 2, verse 17, while we do what we can to honor father and mother, Ephesians 6, verse 2, and honor the aged, and we are to give honor to whom honor is due, judges, governors, presidents of the United States, we must always clarify that honor to God is always to take precedent. And truth can be compromised for no man. Now, honor can be earned or lost in varying degrees, even as dishonor can be awarded in varying degrees. There are those who are honorable, and then there are those who are, quote, more honorable. There are those who are dishonorable, and then there are those who are more dishonorable. These degrees impact our reputation, or what we also like to call our, quote, name. Does someone have a good name or a bad name? What have they done in life? What have they not done? Take a look over at Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse number 1. You're going to see how the wise man is going to lay down a principle here which will contribute to our standing here in this world in a proper way. A good name, Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. And as you would go through this chapter on your own time, you're going to see how there are numerous principles laid down here that will impact our name, that impact our character. You see there, like with verses 6 and 15, how does one do there with his children? Do they let the little ones dominate them or run over everyone there in the neighborhood? Or will they discipline them promptly? Is such a person here industrious or lazy? Verse 13. How do they treat others, the less fortunate? Verse 16. Are they proud and arrogant, or do they have humility? Verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. If you have a good name, it can go far. And if you happen to have a bad name, where does it go? Where does it lead? It doesn't really get you too much in life. We understand, I believe, that principle when it comes to commerce and economics. We have a credit score attached to our name. Banks know about that number. If your credit is good, the bank will give you a loan. If not, best forget about it. It's just not really going to happen. Now, is it the number or the score that they are concentrating on, or is it the name behind the number? It is the name. Oh, so-and-so, you see, well, he's going to be good for this. He could afford it. He has a good job. And this person, well, he's very timely there in his payments of his debts. Oh, but this person over here, well, pretty soon we might have to send the bill collector over to knock there on that door. You see, we tend to get that concept, don't we? And let me tell you, friends, the Lord understands that concept as well. Luke 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. And if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? You could think there about the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. You have the familiar one talent man who decides to just go and bury what had been entrusted to him. Ladies and gentlemen, there was no honor in that decision whatsoever. We must use our health, our wealth, our time, all of that there to God's glorification, or we're going to be guilty of dishonoring what He has entrusted to us, to each of us. I think I speak with great confidence when I say that I know each of us here want to be able to hear from God one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." We want to hear that. But we're going to have our conduct honorable here in this world, reflecting the life and the love of the precious and blessed Master, Jesus Christ, so as to be called to His side one day in heaven to come. True riches are there. Let's make sure that we lay up treasure in heaven, where you're going to have a situation there where they're good, they're solid. Those treasures will be well taken care of. No corruption, no contamination will come their way. We want that abiding presence with God. If we can help you toward that end, we encourage you to become a Christian this hour. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ and be immersed in water for or unto the remission of your sins. Raised to walk in newness of life, looking forward to that crown of life. If we can help, respond now while we stand and sing the song that's been announced.